They are a mysterious family from a far, far away location with superpowers beyond imagining.
The Skywalkers.
No, I'm talking about the Inhumans, because your geek history lesson on the Inhumans is now in session. Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson. I'm Jason Bluebolt Inman.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson. Welcome to your Mind University, because you have stumbled onto the podcast where we take one character, construct, or royal family from popular culture and teach you everything you need to know about them in about an hour. And this week we are bowing down to who, Jason?
Well, I don't know if I'm going to bow down to some, you know, weird alien genetic experiments that come from the moon, but we're talking about the Inhumans, because this week, very soon, they are going to be premiering their two-hour IMAX pilot in theaters ahead of their September 29th premiere on ABC. So I thought, let's dive deep on the Inhumans in case some people, some listeners of the Mind University, might be going to an IMAX theater near them. So this episode was suggested by Tom Holohan, Roger Murphy, and Alberto Reyes. And my prediction is that they are Inhumans that are hiding out in our culture right now.
Probably.
Look left, look right now. You might be next to an Inhuman. That's all I'm saying. They're, you know, this is, I'm going to go deep dive conspiracy theory on this. I think the Inhumans are everywhere.
Okay.
All right, let's pop into our first section, the 10 Cent Origin.
The 10 Cent Origin is, of course, the part of the podcast where we give you all the basic constructs, power sets, and creators in case you ever go to a cocktail party on Adelan and someone there inexplicably doesn't know who the Inhumans are.
The Inhumans, of course, were published by Marvel Comics. Their first appearance was in Fantastic Four number 45 in December of 1965. Now, remember, if you remember a couple of our past Geek History lessons, the Fantastic Four are basically the genesis of everything in the Marvel Universe that is cool. Just want to point out, Galactus shows up in issue 50.
Nice.
So, and I believe Black Panther shows up in 51 or 52? So,
hold that for our Black Panther episode.
The 40s and the 50s, the Fantastic Four are everything.
Nice.
So, they, of course, were created by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. Their notable members are, the Inhuman Royal Family is Black Bolt, Medusa, Karnak, Gorgon, Triton, Crystal, Lockjaw, Maximus the Mad, and the Unspoken. And there has been a new generation, and the new generation is a bunch of various names, is Tanaha, Alaris, San, Nerys, Jolin, Dewaz, and post-Infinity there have been a bunch of Inhumans, including Inferno, Lash, Miss Marvel, Quake,
Woo!
Reader, Ulysses, and their abilities are various.
Yeah, really.
Now, I wanted to mention them because there's a whole bunch of them that I'm never going to mention again. So I just wanted to let you know that the Inhumans are numerous.
Like the mutants.
Exactly. It's like they were kind of been designed to be opposite of the mutants or something like that.
What,
right?
It folded a bunch of characters for the TV shows? What could you possibly be talking
about? I know.
About?
Let's go right to the meet cute, Ashley.
And the meet cute is the part of the podcast that we stole from Romantic Comedy Writing, where we tell you where we first met these characters and how cute it was.
Ashley.
Yes, Jason.
Where did you first meet the Inhumans?
That's a great question, because I have no real strong memory of the Inhumans, probably because I've never read an Inhuman story.
Yeah, but you read Miss Marvel.
Right.
Which is technically an Inhuman story.
But I've never read a title called The Inhumans, or that really focused around the Inhumans. I knew who they were. I knew who they were, and I always used to describe them as less interesting versions of the X-Men. My first real exposure to them, though, was in the Matt Fraction FF series, the Future Foundation series, because Medusa is obviously a big part of that series, and so is their bad guy. So I guess I'm going to say that, even though I definitely knew who they were before then. Now, I know you are pretty into the Inhumans, so I'm curious to know where you first met them.
I first met the Inhumans in a little event called Heroes Reborn. Now, Heroes Reborn, of course, is where Jim Lee and Rob Liefeld took some of the Marvel titles. Fantastic Four, Avengers, Iron Man, and God, what was the other one? I can't remember it.
Captain America.
Why did I forget on that one? Why was that one the one I blanked on?
I don't know.
So they took those four titles for a year. They took them over. Jim Lee awesomely did Fantastic Four. And in his Fantastic Four run, guess what?
What?
The Fantastic Four meet the Inhumans.
Say what?
And that was the first time. Actually, Heroes Reborn, Fantastic Four is kind of a greatest hits of the Fantastic Four. So that's where I got to meet a lot of the awesome Marvel concepts really early on.
That's really cool.
Yeah, and ever since then, I've loved them, even though there are some really, really bad Inhuman stories. All right, so let's move straight into the History 101.
The main meat of the lesson, where Professor Jason is going to teach us everything we need to know about the Inhumans before the TV show.
Now, because the Inhumans are some of Jack Kirby and Stan Lee's cosmic-y characters, there may be some points where things don't quite make sense.
Wait, what?
Yeah, just go with it. That's what I'm saying. Just go with it. Okay?
There'll be a lot of throwing your hands up in the air and going, comics! Mm-hmm.
Now, millions of years ago in Earth time,
great,
the alien Kree established a station on the planet of Uranus. Yes, I'm calling it Uranus. I'm not calling it Uranus. I don't care. I'm adult. This was a strategic position between the Kree and Skrull empires. Though they work at this station, they discovered that the sentient life on the nearby planet of Earth had genetic potential invested in it by the aliens called the Celestials. Now, the Celestials are immensely powerful, and they are huge humanoid shapes, and they have, like, Kirby cosmic dots all over them. They are some of the oldest entities in the Marvel Comics universe. Now, you have seen the Celestials, even if you don't realize it. In Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1, where the Collector is telling the stories about the Infinity Stones, mm-hmm. one of the windows he opens up are the Giants, and they are the Celestials.
Nice.
So, everybody, if you've seen Guardians of the Galaxy, you know what the Celestials are. Now, the Kree were intrigued, and they began to experiment on Earth's then Homo sapiens to produce the genetically advanced Inhuman race. Their goal was twofold: to investigate possible ways of, you know, jump-starting their evolution, and to also create a powerful mutant race of soldiers to use against the Skrulls, who they were fighting at the time. Now, Ashley, who are the Skrulls?
The Skrulls are another really important Marvel alien race. They are green, they've got awesome chins, and they're famous for being shapeshifters.
That's right. Yes, with lots of S's.
Yes.
Now, although the Kree's experiments were successful in creating a strain of humanity with extraordinary abilities, the Kree abandoned their experiment because of a genetic prophecy that had predicted that these experiments would eventually lead to an anomaly that would destroy the Kree Supreme Intelligence. Now, the Kree Supreme Intelligence is a giant green head that basically yells orders at the Kree.
I like to imagine that the Supreme Intelligence is the younger brother of the Great Intelligence from Doctor Who, and that he left to go play with the aliens.
Sure, as long as you believe that that's a green head in a bottle of water.
I do.
It's kind of like it's kind of
sounds stupid.
I think it's the precursor of the Futurama heads and bottles.
Like, great, even better, great, love it.
Now, the Inhumans kept themselves hidden from humanity in their city known as Atalan, also known as the Great Refuge, out of fear for centuries, developing a high technological society with a focus on genetics. Now, 50,000 years ago, and I'll get into this a little bit, Atalan, the island of the gods, as it was also known, was located in the North Atlantic Ocean.
Okay.
But in more modern years, it became hidden in the Himalayas. And I'll tell you the reason why it moves to the Himalayas in a bit.
Okay.
But I just wanted to kind of give you, you know, give you a basis of Atalan. So
it hops around.
Now, soon, the Inhumans, they could be called Atalans.
They could.
They discovered the Terrigen Mist.
Hey.
And the Inhumans would expose themselves in it in order to gain fantastical abilities. When the Terrigen crystals are exposed to water at the correct temperature, they react and produce a Terrigen Mist vapor. These mists are pumped into a flux chamber during the process of Terrigenesis that alters Inhuman biology. And it was discovered by an Inhuman geneticist named Randak. Now, Ashley, I just want to point out that I have yet to get to any of the main Inhuman characters yet.
Awesome. Yeah, great.
Pretty good.
I also think the Terrigen Mists are sort of, if you're going to get superpowers, that's the most coin tossy, because some of them are really cool, but most of them just do weird things to your body.
They horrifically maim you.
Like, you can't talk anymore, your hair's all super active.
Yep. But I am going to talk about some Inhuman main characters now.
Great.
Because a man known as Aegon would change the Inhumans forever.
Ooh.
Aegon and Rinda were married, and Aegon decided that he would expose their son to the Terrigen Mist while he was still in the womb. Shortly after their son was born, they discovered that he had incredible powers. And that son's name is Blakagar Boltagon, who is better known as what, Ashley?
Black Bolt. Because Blackagar Boltagon is the stupidest name ever.
Well, I think it was the 60s attempt of Stan Lee and Jack Kirby to not be like Black Bolt's his real name.
I get it, but it's a stretch.
Yeah. Now, this kid's abilities include a complete control over the electrons around him, as well as the destructive voice that he could not control. Both Aegon as well as the Inhumans Genetic Council came to agree that Black Bolt needed to be confined until he had control over his powers. Deciding that the problem was that Black Bolt was exposed to the mist at too young of an age, Aegon began convincing his family members to have children and then expose them to the mist while they were infants. Aegon and Rinda had a second child named Maximus, who did not appear to develop any mental powers after being exposed to the Terrigen Mist. So he went through the Terrigen Mist and didn't seem to give him anything.
Mm.
Now let's talk about some of the inhuman families of the House of Aegon. Now,
okay.
Ashley, have you ever heard of Aegon before this lesson? I'm just very curious.
No. The Aegon that I know is from the Game of Thrones continuity, and he's kind of evil and has dragons.
Oh, well, this is different because it's A-G-O-N.
Oh, well, he also seems really crazy and willing to sacrifice his family for his own means, so I guess it's just a bad name.
All right. Now, the House of Aegon is also another name for the Inhumans' royal family.
Cool.
So.
Got it.
Koroth and Melaena had a son named Gorgon, who was exposed to the mist as an infant. Gorgon developed cloven hooves that could cause massive tremors when stomped. Mander and Azur had their first son, Triton, and exposed him to the mist when he was an infant as well. However, the mist turned Triton into a water breather who needed to remain in an isolated alcove off the coast of Adelan in order to survive.
Well, it's lucky they gave him a water-based name.
Yep. It was because of this, when they had their second son, Karnak, that they did not expose Karnak to the mist. Instead, Karnak was sent to the Tower of Wisdom, where he was trained in various mental and physical disciplines that allowed him to see the flaws in all objects.
That's cool.
Quinlan and Amber had two children themselves, Medusa, and a few years later, Crystal. They were both exposed to the Terrigen Mist at infancy and developed malleable hair and elemental powers, respectively.
One of those is a good power.
Yep. And at some point, the House of Aegon exposed their dog, known as Lockjaw, to the Terrigen Mist, and the Kanon developed the power to teleport. Lockjaw was the loyal pet to Crystal, although he basically obeys anyone in the royal family.
I love that they sent all the people first and then sent the dog instead of the other way around, like normal people do.
Now, as I said, this was the royal family of the Inhumans, and Black Bolt remained in isolation until the age of 19, when he mastered the ability to remain silent, or as I like to call it, to just shut up.
There you go.
It was then he was physically introduced to his extended family for the first time. And jealous of his brother from the start, Maximus used the device to try and force Black Bolt to speak, hoping the destructive power of his voice would eliminate any chance of Blackagar succeeding as the ruler of the Inhumans. However, Bolt's cousins came to his aid, stopping Maximus before they could succeed.
Woo!
As they grew older, Black Bolt and his brother Maximus shared a brotherly bond that slowly got soured with age, particularly with the awakening of Maximus's mental powers, which gave him rudimentary mind control abilities.
Well, rudimentary mind control is more than the rest of us have.
That's right. Later, Bolt discovered his brother attempting to ally himself with the Kree in order to take control of the Inhuman throne. And confronting his brother, Black Bolt was forced to unleash his destructive voice to stop the Kree from escaping. This was a twofold tragedy, as the sound of Black Bolt's voice drove Maximus mad, and the crashing Kree ship slew all their parents.
Ooh, that's pretty bad as far as superheroes go.
Suddenly, Black Bolt found himself in line for the Inhuman throne and ruled over the Inhumans for years. And the fates of the remaining elders of the Inhuman royal family, basically the survivors, is unknown, as only Koroth and Melaena have been seen since in preceding stories.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. That's sad.
Adelan remained isolated in the North Atlantic well into the 20th century until the 1950s, when Triton, when he was swimming around, had a run-in with a film crew. And he actually went to New York, and he discovered the prejudices of the outside world. With the Inhuman society already being somewhat xenophobic, Black Bolt feared what discovery might bring and began seeking a new home for his people. And along the way, they encountered the Internals, another secret offshoot of humanity, and their leader, Zuros, assisted Black Bolt in locating a new home for Adelan in a remote part of the Himalayan mountains.
Hey, we talked about that earlier.
Yeah.
Look at that.
But then soon, the Marvel Age of Heroes happened, and Ashley, Lee, what is the Marvel Age of Heroes and what team first debuts during that time?
I believe, I don't know if I've ever heard it referred to that before. The Marvel Age of Heroes is everything that you like about comic books, basically. And it was started by the Avengers?
No, the Fantastic Four. Which are Marvel's very first superhero team.
Look, I've not read very much Fantastic Four.
But we've had a lesson on Geek History Lesson, which you can go find on iTunes.
You sure can.
All right. Ashley, I want to ask you a question. Do you have a favorite Inhuman? I've already mentioned a bunch of them. And before we start mixing them into the Marvel Universe, I want to know, do you have a favorite Inhuman? Are there any of them that you like besides Lockjaw?
I was going to say, are we talking like the classic Inhuman?
I don't care. Any Inhuman.
I mean, because Kamala Khan would be my default.
Well, I'm going to nix you on Kamala Khan.
See, I knew you were going to do that.
Because she's not a member of... Well,
that's what I asked.
She's a new human, which we'll get to.
Yeah.
And we will have a Miss Marvel lesson, I know.
We definitely will. Yeah. And I can't say Lockjaw, but Lockjaw's the only Inhuman I own a stuffed animal of. I don't know. I really like the idea of Black Bolt, but like I said, I've never read an Inhumans proper story, so I don't know if I'm...
Well, I'm going to give you a hint. He doesn't say much during
Who is your favorite Inhuman?
Black Bolt.
Okay, good. Then I've made the correct choice.
Yep. All right, let's go back to Atalan. Eventually, Maximus escapes his jail time and caused Medusa to crash a ship outside of Atalan. Maximus took control of the Inhuman throne and exiled his cousins, and Black Bolt and his family were forced out of Atalan, and they began to search for Medusa, who, you know, didn't come back to the city. The Inhumans eventually ended up in New York City, where they established a temporary home below a Brooklyn tenement slated for demolition.
Heck yeah.
Now, while out exploring one night, Crystal, remember her?
Yeah.
Happened to cross paths with the Human Torch, whose real name is what, Ashley?
Johnny Storm.
Yeah. He's the hero, of course, of the Fantastic Four. Now, Ashley, do you like Crystal?
I guess I like Crystal just fine. Everything I know about her is that she hooks up with Quicksilver, and somebody once told me that I was a lot like her. So, yeah, I like Crystal.
Okay. All right. Now, well, I want to tell you a little bit about Crystal, because Crystal is very involved with the Fantastic Four.
All right.
And if you don't know, her abilities, as we said before, is elemental. She can psionically control the four classic elements.
She's an avatar.
She's an avatar.
That's cool.
Air, earth, water, and fire.
Oh, I bet Johnny loves that.
Well, it almost doesn't explain why she loves Johnny.
Yeah.
The pair were smitten by each other at first, and after a quick chase, Crystal mistook Johnny Storm for an Inhuman due to his flame powers. Mm. When Gorgon successfully returned with Medusa, she recognized him as a former foe, and a battle broke out. During the conflict, Johnny was able to summon his comrades from the Fantastic Four, while the Inhumans summoned their leader, Black Bolt. Eventually, the humans fled the scene, thinking that this was all a ruse of Maximus, and Lockjaw took them back to the Great Refuge.
Cool. Good for Lockjaw. He's useful.
Mm-hmm. Basically, when he gets scaredy, he'll always take him back to Adeline.
Yeah.
He's
a good dog.
Yeah. Now, when in faced with this insane brother once again, Black Bolt fought through an army of alpha primitives, who were basically the slave class of the Inhumans.
That's so rude, alpha primitives.
The Inhumans do have a caste system.
Yeah. A very obvious one.
And Black Bolt reclaimed the Inhuman crown from Maximus. The Fantastic Four soon showed up and arrived at the Great Refuge because Reed Richards figured out where it was. And Mr. Fantastic pleaded to them to reveal themselves to humanity outside. However, Maximus was not totally defeated, as he intended to use his Atmo gun to wipe out the human race so the Inhumans could take over the entire world. Now, before Maximus could activate the Atmo gun, Black Bolt destroyed the device, saving the lives of every human on Earth. And in one last-ditch effort, Maximus scored a victory by activating a device that surrounded Atlan with a negative zone barrier. However, it forced the Fantastic Four out while trapping the Inhumans inside the negative zone.
Oh, that's not great.
No, it's not. Finding themselves trapped behind the negative zone barrier, Black Bolt began to puzzle out a means to break through. However, Maximus, who again went back to jail, because that's his story lot in life, is to escape. I want the throne. Take the throne. They beat him. They throw him back in jail. And it just repeats and repeats and repeats.
And in many ways, a very typical comic book villain.
Yes. Now, Maximus, again, as I said, he knew the way to destroy the barrier. revealing to the others the secret of why Black Bolt never spoke. Medusa tried to stop Maximus from speaking, but it was too late. The secret is out. The only way to destroy the negative zone barrier was the destructive power of Black Bolt's voice, something that could possibly destroy the entire city of Adalyn in the process. With no other choice left to them, the royal family and the rest of the Inhumans sought shelter below the city while Black Bolt unleashed the awesome power of his voice. Although Black Bolt succeeded in destroying the barrier, Adalyn was decimated in the process. And in the aftermath of the battle, the ruling council of the Inhumans decreed that Black Bolt and the rest of the royal family had to leave the Great Refuge until the city could be rebuilt to its former splendor. And by former splendor, I mean casinos and Hooters and, of course, like Five Guys.
That joke is so much funnier than it should be. I really think that's quite funny.
Yeah. Of course, the ruling council decrees that splendor is Five Guys.
Five Guys.
Yeah. So, again, that is also another recurring motif of the Inhumans, that the royal family gets kicked out.
Yeah. And Adalyn suffers a bit of destruction.
Yep. After several years of wandering, the royal family was allowed back in Adalyn.
Sweet.
But by this point, Medusa's sister Crystal was asked to join the Fantastic Four to take the place of the Invisible Girl, who had just discovered that she was pregnant. Pregnant with what child, Ashley?
Franklin Richards.
That is correct. Sue Storm was pregnant with Franklin, and this is how why Crystal joined the Fantastic Four for a couple years.
I guess they were also like, well, she's blonde.
Mm-hmm.
Close enough.
So then the Inhumans had several adventures and incursions and throne power struggles, and then Black Bolt.
I'd read that book.
joined the Illuminati. Ashley, what is the Illuminati?
See, that's a great question that I don't know the answer to. It's a fictional thing that people believe because they read the Da Vinci Code. And
okay, that
also
is completely not even what this is. So.
No, I know it's some weird secret organization in the Marvel Universe, but I honestly don't really know.
I just wanted to stop you real quick because I don't want you to take people down a weird hole with this.
Sorry, guys. I was trying to make a joke.
All right. The Illuminati in the Marvel Universe is this. In the aftermath of the Kree-Skrull War, Iron Man gathered Fantastic Four leader Mr. Fantastic, Doctor Strange, Namor, I try to call it Submariner, I don't know why, Professor X, and Black Bolt to try to get ahead of upcoming threats. And it was a reveal of Civil War that this organization existed.
Yes.
And Secret Invasion. And in fact, the Illuminati still existed all the way up to Secret Wars, the modern Secret Wars.
Yeah, and they even had a standalone title at one point.
Yeah, the new Avengers title by Jonathan Hickman was the Illuminati.
Yeah.
Title. And there is a miniseries called The Illuminati.
Yes.
So
there you go.
I just want to let you know this is the point where it happened, and that's the point where Black Bolt joins.
Great.
So after this, Crystal's long association with the Fantastic Four was coming to an end because pollutants from the outside world threatened to have a fatal effect on her, forcing her to return home. Although when she came home, she took an unexpected detour through Australia, and Crystal saved the life of the mutant known as Quicksilver, who was seriously injured battling the Sentinels. Ashley, do you know who Quicksilver is?
I do know who Quicksilver is.
Okay, who is Quicksilver?
His name is Peter, although sometimes we say it a little differently. He's the son of Magneto. He's really fast.
Mm-hmm. You did not see that coming, I bet.
I bet you didn't. I really thought for a minute because she had to leave because of pollutants, you were going to tell me that she went off and made an inconvenient truth.
No. She took Quicksilver back to Adalyn, though, with her, and the two fell in love while Crystal nursed him back to health.
Aww.
When the Human Torch eventually came to Adalyn to be reunited with Crystal because Crystal was a girlfriend, the Inhuman royal family tried to stop him in order to explain Johnny Storm what was going on with Crystal during his absence. This led to an altercation between the Torch and the Inhumans, and Black Bolt then decreed that Medusa, having developed an immunity to the outside pollutants of the outside human world, was to venture out and act as an emissary of the Inhumans in the outside world, and Medusa then joined the Fantastic Four, taking the place of Invisible Girl and her own sister, Crystal.
There you go.
Crystal and Quicksilver eventually wanted to get married. And their wedding day quickly approached. Black Bolt invited members of the Avengers and the Fantastic Four to witness the wedding. And unknown to them at the time, Maximus had revived the robot known as Ultron to strike back at his enemies.
But what?
Instead, Ultron betrayed Maximus to get revenge on his own, and the threat was over because the heroes, of course, always win. And Crystal and Pietro were married by Black Bolt, before all their friends without further incident.
Aww.
But it wasn't a happy honeymoon.
What? I can't possibly imagine why.
Because the Inhumans began to get sick from pollution in our own world.
Oh, come on, all these pollutants. Mm-hmm.
With the pollution taking its toll on the Inhumans, the Fantastic Four were sought to help Atlan move to a new location where their people would not be at risk.
Mm.
The blue area of the moon was selected for its self-contained atmosphere, and with the help of the Fantastic Four, Medusa and the Inhuman royal family move Atlan to the moon, and Black Bolt then organized a celebration, a giant party of the Inhumans' new home on the moon. And Crystal's daughter, who had just been born, was named Luna to commemorate their new home.
Yeah, I like Luna.
Later, when Quicksilver insisted that Luna be exposed to the Terrigen Mist, Crystal fought out against it with the fear that her daughter would be mutated into a non-human form. She sought out the aid of the Thing to help stop this from happening, and Black Bolt and the rest of the royal family clashed with the Thing and Lockjaw in order to preserve an inhuman law that had never been mentioned before that stated that the father of a child could choose when and if their offspring could expose to the Terrigenesis.
They were like, hey, why not some patriarchy, yeah?
Mm-hmm. However, the conflict was put to an end when Quicksilver was tricked into thinking that Lockjaw was a humanoid mutated into dog form, making him see Crystal's point of view. And that was where that rumor... There's been a lot of like storylines where like Lockjaw's a mutated human. That's where this comes from.
That's dumb.
It is dumb.
He's a dog.
Finally came the time where Black Bolt and Medusa were to be married after so many long years as a couple. Yeah, they weren't married at this point.
But they're cousins.
Not quite, sort of.
But they're distantly vaguely related.
That's weird. Yep. It's called Royal Families,
okay,
actually.
Okay, so are Arwen and Aragorn, so there you go.
A massive ceremony was held in their honor and a public wedding was conducted. And among those invited to the festivities were the Fantastic Four. And because of those good times, it's time to talk about today's sponsor. We all know that one of the most important things about running your business is that you need great talent, right? Even if you're doing a podcast, you need great talent. Or you're running a business, it's even more important. So with ZipRecruiter, they're gonna help you post your job to 100 plus job sites with just one click, because they wanna help you find the right people, the right talent, better than anyone else. Fun fact, over 80% of jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours. That's an amazingly small amount of time, especially for finding the right person qualified for your jobs. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes, big and small, to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/geekhistory. That's ZipRecruiter.com/geekhistory. One more time to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/geekhistory. You got to find that talent for your jobs. And now back to the Inhumans. So we're going to skip ahead through most of the 80s and 90s because, you know, a whole bunch of Inhuman stuff happens in the recent comics, and we need to talk about that more than some of the other stuff.
Cool.
So Onslaught happens. Ashley, what's Onslaught?
Onslaught is a big red guy who fights the X-Men, and he's actually Professor X.
And that's where all the heroes go over to the Heroes Reborn universe.
Yes.
Quicksilver and Crystal divorce. World War Hulk happens, where the Hulk comes back all angry. And then the Terrible War of the Kings storyline happens. That's where the Inhumans had plans to lead a benevolent future with the Kree. They were going to join up with the Kree. Crystal was promised to Ronan to further unite the Kree. And then humans even offered the Terrigen Mist to help enhance the evolution of the Kree. However, the Shi'ar declared a war on the Kree, and it was a dumb storyline. Now to the War of Four Cities. It was revealed in the War of Four Cities that Black Bolt likely represented the anomaly of the Kree-Inhuman genetics program that had been predicted hundreds of thousands of years ago. The genetic prophecy was that, of course, this anomaly would bring into the Supreme Intelligence. And to prevent this outcome, the Kree Supreme Intelligence had ordered the destruction of all the worlds where Kree genetic experiments took place. Only five colonies escaped, including Earth's. and these became known as the Universal Inhumans. After his return to Adelan, Black Bolt joined the Universal Inhumans and was presented with four new brides, one from each of the other colonies. Franklin Richards then brokered a peace between the Kree and the Inhumans, and you may be wondering, what? Franklin Richards? This was when an older time-traveling Franklin Richards was around.
That's actually a really cool storyline.
It is.
If people have never read it, I'd recommend go checking it
this
out.
This is during the Jonathan Hickman Fantastic Four run.
Yes, it is.
It's really good. Black Bolt faced down the Supreme Intelligence, and they arrived at a truce after Black Bolt convinced it that the prophecy was broken and that he was no longer a threat to the Kree. Then Infinity happens, and this is what happens in Infinity.
Yeah.
Black Bolt was visited by Thanos' Cull Obsidian, who demanded a tribute. Basically, Cull Obsidian is one of Thanos' lackeys.
Mm-hmm.
He demanded the heads of the Inhumans younglings between the ages of 16 and 22, or... if he didn't get that, he would annihilate all of Earth's inhabitants.
That's an oddly specific request.
Using the Inhuman Codex, Black Bolt discovered that Thanos used the tribute demand as a cover for his true mission, to kill his secret Inhuman descendant son, whose identity and location were unknown even by his father. After the Inhumans denied the tribute to Corvus Glaive, another one of Thanos' lackeys, Thanos personally visited Black Bolt at Adelan. Finding the Inhuman city completely empty, and with only Black Bolt left, Black Bolt unleashed a powerful scream which tore down Adelan itself and activated a Terrigen bomb which spread the mist across the Earth. The global destruction of the mist caused millions of humans who possessed a latent Inhuman gene to undergo Terran Genesis and develop powers.
Heck yeah.
However, the powerful scream had no physical effect on Thanos and shattered the Mad Titan's armor, And Thanos found Black Bolt still alive in the rubble and demanded to know the location of his son. Black Bolt refused and continued attacking Thanos with his voice until an enraged Thanos knocked him out. Black Bolt was held captive for Thanos to use his power to activate the Illuminati's antimatter bombs to destroy the Earth. However, Black Bolt was liberated by his crazy brother Maximus and Lockjaw.
Oh, that's nice.
And in the ancient location of Adelan in the Himalayas, Black Bolt hid the Inhuman Codex and made Maximus understand that his survival and his brother's survival were to be kept a secret. Maximus also deduced that Black Bolt was always going to activate the Terrigen Bomb, whether Thanos showed up or not, to herald a new age of Inhumans. Now, Ashley, we have seen what happens to the people that get hit by the Terrigen Mist. They go into cocoons and they suffer and they get
super gross.
Like, whatever.
Gross, yeah.
Do you believe this makes Black Bolt a villain? That he was purposely always going to unleash this bomb across Earth, whether the people of Earth wanted it or not?
That's a really interesting question, because I literally would never, I've never thought of it like that. I think of it more as like the Marvel executives as a villain for forcing a bunch of characters into this little box because they need an explanation.
Let's stay in story.
Intellectually, yes. I guess so, but no, because some characters I really like came out of it. But I understand your argument that you're having all these people suffer for his sake.
And their body is going gross transformations beyond their will.
Yeah, yeah, without their consent, certainly, and then that's another issue. But Miss Marvel, guys, Miss Marvel. I don't think it makes Black... I don't think Black Bolt is a villain. I don't. And I think on the whole, Black Bolt has generally good reasons for doing things. So, no.
See, I think this is the point. This is the point where I start not liking Black Bolt.
Mm.
Now, at this period of time, Medusa thinks Black Bolt is dead. So she takes the throne. She becomes Queen Medusa, and she begins to date the Human Torch. Now, the mist released by Black Bolt during Thanos' invasion eventually settled into the form of two enormous clouds that roamed the planet, and they were propelled by natural wind currents. These winds would turn people into Inhumans, sometimes called New Humans. N-U Humans. I don't like that name so much.
I don't either.
Just call them Inhumans. Like Kamala Khan, Miss Marvel, which you mentioned several times, or Ulysses, who is the character that is central to Civil War II.
Yeah, I don't like him as much.
Unfortunately, the molecular composition of the Terrigen Mist changed after being mixed with the Earth's atmosphere, turning them into a substance toxic for mutants. The toxicity of the mist were discovered by Cyclops, the leader of the X-Men, though too late, And this led to Cyclops' death when he was exposed to the residual mist found at Mirror Island. Fueled by grief, Emma Frost called out the Inhumans for the mist's hazardousness and used a mental projection of Cyclops to lead to the destruction of one of the clouds. When Emma confronted the Inhumans, she used the projected image of Cyclops to push Black Bolt into killing him with a sonic scream. And this event raised tensions between mutants and Inhumans and was looked at as the inciting incident as the war between the Inhumans and mutants as they killed their leader.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
During this time, also, Black Bolt discovered Medusa's affair with Human Torch, and this made him to create a nightclub known as the Quiet Club. And yes, it is as ridiculous as it sounds. Beast discovered that the remaining Terrigen Cloud was weeks away from being completely assimilated into the atmosphere permanently, thus making the Earth uninhabitable for mutants. The different factions of the X-Men joined forces to take down key Inhuman players so that they could destroy the cloud with no interference, believing that the Inhumans would refuse to assist them. In order to neutralize Black Bolt, and I think this is really smart, Emma Frost enlisted the help of Dazzler, a mutant who has the ability to absorb and repurpose energy from sound, which dampened Black Bolt's sonic scream. The Inhumans continue fighting against the mutants until they realize the stakes of the conflict. And after Medusa willingly destroyed the cloud herself, the X-Men and the Inhumans join forces to take down Emma Frost, who at this point had been driven mad by Cyclops' death, and tried to massacre the Inhumans in spite of the mist no longer being a threat. In an inspirational act, an injured Black Bolt flew Medusa up for her final confrontation with Emma Frost. Medusa battles Emma personally and attempts to calm her down and tries to reason with her unsuccessfully until Havoc intervenes and captures Emma, claiming that sparing Emma's life was the final favor that he owed to his dead brother.
Mm.
With the war now over, the X-Men reconcile with Beast and come to terms with now the fact that they must live with the consequences of the actions due to Emma's deceptions. And now wanted by both the Inhumans and the X-Men, Emma Frost goes into hiding. Medusa abdicates the throne and gives all leadership duties over to Iso, knowing that her people won't understand why she decided to destroy the Terrigen Cloud. And now free of the burdens of being a queen, she goes to the Quiet Room and happily reunites with Black Bolt.
That's kind of nice, actually.
It is kind of a nice little ending. And that's where I'm going to leave you in terms of the comic book history of the Inhumans. They have a couple series that are like The Royals and Black Bolt. I don't want to spoil those. I thought this was a nice little capper that Medusa and Black Bolt come back together.
There's also a Lockjaw series.
And there is. All right, so let's move into the next section of our podcast, the recommended reading.
Yes, where if you want to know more about the Inhumans, Professor Jason is going to recommend some stuff that you can read. You can find all of these at geekhistorylesson.com/recommended reading. There's a little widget. You click on it, you buy the books you want, a little bit of support comes back our way, and you can go pretty far back in our catalog. So go and get yourself some cool stuff to read.
Now, I'm going to tell you one that I expect all of you that are listening right now, I expect all of you to go over to geekhistorylesson.com/recommended reading and buy this book. The reason why I say that is because not only is this book that I'm going to mention the best Inhuman storyline, it's also one of the best comic books I've ever read.
Ooh.
It is a comic book series that I think should be in everyone's collection. It is The Inhumans, Marvel Knights by Paul Jenkins with art by Jay Lee. It is a 12-issue miniseries. And again, I am not lying. This is the best Inhuman story of all time. I didn't even bring it up in our lesson because I didn't want to spoil any of it. Basically, the miniseries is about the real world attacks Adalyn. And each issue of the series is told from the POV of a different Inhuman. So you get to learn about each of the Inhumans. And I think it would be the perfect series, actually, to read if you are interested in watching the TV show. So I expect every student, that is your homework, go get the Inhumans Marvel Knights.
Nice.
The next storyline, of course, is Infinity, because that is the giant storyline where Black Bolt changes the Inhumans in the Marvel Universe forever and blows up the Terrigen Mist. You know, Infinity, for all its faults, because I'm not a big fan of that storyline, does have some major repercussions. It does create Kamala Khan. It creates a lot of new characters. So I think it is definitely must read. And then Inhumans versus X-Men, which was an event that I expected not to like, but really liked with the nice ending at the very end, even though I just spoiled it for you. Black Bolt and Medusa get back together.
Oh, sweet.
But it's a nice little ending, and it's written by Charles Soule and Jeff Lemire, and Kenneth Rockefeller draws a good chunk of it.
Ooh, that's got to be amazing.
So there you go. All right, let's move into the discussion.
Where we're going to discuss stuff.
Now, Ashley, based on what you've heard, do you think The Inhumans can work as a TV show or a movie? Why or why not? Which do you think would be better? And I'm going to ask you to ignore, of course, we know they're making a TV show, but I'm going to ask you to rewind your brain back, act like you haven't seen that trailer, act like you don't know that show exists. You know, Inhumans, TV show, movie, which is better? Why?
I think...
Or do you think no, all completely?
I do not think that. I think that if they had a HBO-level budget, I think a television show would be great because there are a lot of soap operatic elements around any royal family, and I think if you could balance that with the superheroing of all, if you could make this the... basically Game of Thrones, but with superpowers, I think it would be a great television show. I think it would be more difficult to do as a movie. And I think, in my personal opinion, with how we're seeing Guardians of the Galaxy drop in quality from movie to movie, I think that maybe the cosmic-y stuff at Marvel needs more room to breathe, and maybe it would be better on television. Yeah, I just think Inhumans, all the basic elements really add up to that for me. Do you have a different opinion?
I agree and I disagree because I think The Inhumans could work as an amazing movie trilogy. Like, I think I've pitched on this on several podcasts before the idea that an Inhumans movie is, you know, an Infinity War would be the perfect way. Like, the Infinity War sets off the Terrigen Bomb and then...
You have, yeah.
And you start the movie of the Inhumans movie from the perspective of Kamala Khan and her little puppy named Lockjaw.
Mm-hmm.
And they both get transformed and the royal family shows up and the royal family's like, come join us. And the movie's about her deciding whether or not she's going to join this new Inhuman family.
Yeah, I think through that lens it would really work as a movie.
Mm-hmm. But I do agree with you that, yeah, like... a TV show would work. A TV show that, especially about an Inhuman family trying to hide from humanity. But it is an expensive TV show.
It would definitely be very expensive.
So, yeah, that's what I think. I was just curious because you were an outsider perspective. I mean, I'm definitely going to watch the new series.
Yeah.
Because I like the Inhumans a lot. I'm not positive on it right now. I'm just going to be fully... I'm not going to see it in IMAX.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to save my money. I'm watching it for free on TV. But yeah, there you go. That's where I'm at. All right, let's move into the next section of our podcast, the Teaching Tweet.
Where in 140 characters or less, Professor Jason is going to sum up everything he just taught us about the Inhumans.
The Inhumans. Your family can never be as weird as Black Bolt's because he has a teleporting dog. And you can find that tweet at GHL Podcast on Twitter as we move into the final section of our podcast, the Geek History Lesson on a Roll, where if you go over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review, we're going to read your review on the podcast. This comes from Antorez. They say, such a great podcast. Having recently got back into comics, this is the perfect place to get to know characters I was always aware of but never knew a whole lot about. Love the recommended reading. Every episode makes me aware of a story arc or issue that I didn't know about. You will learn something every single episode and have a good share of laughs along the way. Thank you for that 5-star review, Ann Torres. And if you want to join the Geek History Lesson Honor Roll, go over to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, and tell us why you think we're awesome.
Thank you.
You can also subscribe to this podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, all the places that have podcasts. And Ashley, if you want to suggest a lesson like The Inhumans, like Tom Holohan, Roger Murphy, and Alberto Reyes did, where can they do that?
You can do that at facebook.com/geekhistorylesson, geekhistorylesson.com, and on Twitter at GHL Podcast. There's a ton of ways to contact us in all of those places.
Yes, and you can find us on Twitter. For me, at Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N. For Ashley, at Ashley V. Robinson. And you can find all our YouTube videos at youtube.com/Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N. You can be guaranteed that when the Inhumans drop, we will have a pilot review over there. Thank you so much for listening to Geek History Lesson. I am Jason Triton Inman.
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson. And Professor Jason, will you please dismiss the class?
Class, don't forget, we have a patreon.com/Jawin episode of the Inhumans. Geek History Lesson Extra. We're going to talk about the pilot and our predictions. But until then, seriously, go read that Inhumans book. I'm not lying. That Marvel Knights book is amazing, just for the art. Bye-bye.